Welcome back to another main event show. Ryan Jarrell with Brian Stackpole here, and we are recapping the huge night last night in Bangor. The NEF presents Dana White looking for a fight. It's all behind us now, Brian, and a lot to talk about. I mean, my goodness, what a card.
Eight tremendous fights, some longer than others, some going the distance, but when all was said and done, I enjoyed every single one of them. And you know who also did?
Who's that?
Dana White.
Yeah, right.
And we'll hear from Dana White a little bit later on about some of the fighters he enjoyed. We'll hear that also from Matt Serra. One in particular we'll be having on the show later on today that he really seemed to enjoy. So we'll hear from both of them, which I'm looking forward to. I will also have a nice interview with Cub Swanson outside of this vein of this looking for a fight NEF promotion. We'll talk with Cub Swanson about his next opponent and seeing what he can do in the octagon. So we'll talk with him, and then we'll also talk with a couple of fighters who were on the card last night as well.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Lacy, I might be his biggest fan, aside from his family members. That
right.
Guy is, he's relentless for a reason. What a performance, especially after getting popped pretty hard there in the first round. He came back and convincingly, in my opinion, won both two and three rather handily. And he got a split decision win last night. Probably the fight of the night, outside with the Ryan Sanders, Derek Kennington fight, which is also a war.
Mm, absolutely. And let's go through this card a little bit real quick. But before we do that, Aaron Lacy will be joining us later on today. Mm-hmm. We'll also be talking to another winner last night, and a pretty impressive winner, and Derek Brown, who did some damage.
Yeah. I mean, when you looked at Brendan Battles, his opponent last night, who is a former University of Connecticut wrestler, a very successful one at that, Brendan Battles is kind of like in the vein of a Brock Lesnar. You see him walking out and you're like, good Lord, look at the size of that guy.
He could kill you with a stare.
Yeah, right. And Derek Brown, he's not a small man himself. You know, he's fought at heavyweight, but he also goes and cuts down and fights at light heavyweight. It's a big guy, you know, and he put on quite a performance last night. It looked like for a second he was going to get finished in that first round, but he showed the heart of a lion.
Right.
And he pushed through, and boy, he really muddied up Battle's face there in the second round. That straight jab that he kept hitting him with the third time he did it, his face was a bloody mess.
So we'll talk to Derek here later on, and we'll also hear from Devin Powell, who really had a good performance, looked to be in trouble early on as John Lemke busted open his nose. He'll talk about that as well, and then he really rebounded very nicely to come back and win via submission. So nicely done there for him, and we'll hear about that and much more with Devin, who really impressed some people last night. But let's go through this card from top to bottom. First and foremost, we have Josh Harvey winning via TKO in the first round over Zenon Herrera. Again, big credit to Zenon. He was just outclassed in this one, especially on 3 days' notice, having to cut, 20 pounds or so? And Josh is just a beast who sat next to us after that contest. I think he was there from CJ on, CJ Ewer, who was the third fight of the night, and said he could have finished him early, but he didn't want to. He wanted to continue to try to do things, and he also, I think, wanted to fight until Dana showed up, as he showed up like just afterwards.
Yeah, you know, it's. I'm sure he's disappointed that he didn't get to perform in front of Dana, but I'm sure Dana knows who Josh Harvey is now. I mean,
oh yeah,
Josh Harvey is a fixture in the New England fight scene, and he's just going to continue to get better. I mean, I would expect him to be a Bellator fighter, just like his former teammate Ray Wood at some point really soon. And you know, Dana White, he knows who he is. He's going to be on his radar, and you know, maybe one day down the line he will get that UFC contract.
And I get a feeling, because there wasn't a lot to talk about in that fight, but I get a feeling though that Josh really wants Bush out whenever he is healthy to go and ready to go, because he wasn't bad mouthing him per se, but he just was so upset to see him there in attendance even with the injury. And of course he's a corner man, he's going to help out some of his teammates. But I think that just grinded on him too. So maybe we see that in the future. But I know bright things are still coming for Mr. Harvey.
Yeah, you know, and as you said before too, kudos to Zenon Herrera for taking this
Absolutely.
Fight. Because he didn't have to. He probably knew going into it that, you know, the odds are stacked against him, because when you have to cut 22 pounds in 3 days to fight a guy as game and as well-rounded as Josh Harvey is, you're going to be in a tough position. And, you know, Harvey came out and did what we expected. I mean, he looked great.
Yeah, and we'll see when he fights next. He said he has some work to do around his house and cutting wood and everything, preparing for winter, which makes sense. A lot of these guys aren't just fighters, they have other things they have to do. So he says he might do a couple kickboxing tournaments, some of those those events that he does here locally. So I'm looking forward to going and attending one of those. He says he's still going to participate in the ring kickboxing to stay sharp. So looking forward to that one. And I did talk to Zenon too. He said he was just gassed. He was just so tired from having to cut all that weight and then taking that. But again, big credit to him for saving that fight and keeping this an 8-fight card. So congratulations to him and for doing it. And congratulations for Josh for staying undefeated. We talked about it a little bit, but let's go to that heavyweight matchup between Brendan Battles and Derek Brown. Battles looked great early on, though he did have a nice knee right to the groin, like a major league knee to the groin. And then Derek Brown came back, battled forward, and knocked him out of the competition because he busted open his eye so much.
Yeah, it was a referee stoppage there. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to Derek Brown's takedown defense. That was the thing that impressed me the most, is because Battles was really looking to take him down and use his wrestling pedigree. Obviously, as I said before, the University of Connecticut wrestling standout. He had a tough time getting Derek to the ground. And that was the thing that I think maybe turn the fight in Derek's favor is it made Battles guess a little bit, because I felt like he wanted to get this fight to the ground and bust him up and keep it there. And when Derek was able to stave off a lot of those takedowns and keep it on the feet, I think he was able to utilize what he is best at, and that's clearly his striking.
And he busted him wide open. This was one of the gnarliest injuries I've seen in a long time. You saw the blood at least trickle out, then he popped him once more and it got bigger. Then he popped him the third time. The thing almost like exploded a little bit and just gushed everywhere. And they just had to stop the fight. It was to the point where I think Battles could have battled through it and still might have come out victorious when all was said and done. But it's one of those ones where if you get punched in that one more time,
who knows?
You could really have some serious damage.
Right, yeah.
And we apologize for the dog there. I brought my dog into town, so if you hear some barking, that's my dog Corbin. He's saying hello.
He's really cute, though, so it's good to have him here today.
But, good victory for Derek Brown. Looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future. And looks like he might be coming back up here to the state of Maine sometime.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. I'd love to see him back in here. And with how impressive of a fighter he looks to be, you know, he might be in line for an NEF heavyweight title shot here real soon.
Next fight was CJ Ewer continuing the Young's MMA dominance with the knockout of the night. I think everyone's going to say that's a knockout of the night. Early on, was it 35 seconds or 45 seconds in the first round?
Yeah, I think it was in the 40s. But
45, yeah.
Yeah, he hit him hard. The crazy thing of it is, too, is when Redman got up, he didn't know where he was. You know, he was contesting the decision, saying, what? Like, no, the fight's not over. Yeah, it was over. He got knocked pretty good, and you know, that's why referees should make more money than I'm sure that they do, because you need to be on the ball to stop fights when they're supposed to be stopped, so nobody gets seriously hurt.
And CJ looked great again. 45 seconds. I don't know if he wants to get back in the cage again, but he theoretically could do so in September because he is that good right now.
And I spoke to him earlier today, and we're gonna have him on the show next week. So look forward to that.
So we'll be able to see if possibly he'll be fighting in September or he's going to look to take a little time off. But, I mean, just an impressive outing. Not much you can say about a 45-second fight, but he looks good. He looks confident. He looks ready to go. And I think he's going to be a force to continue with continuing training at Young's MMA, which just is a powerhouse. And we'll talk about a couple more fighters who also had some success. But let's move on to one of the fights that I thought might have gone a little bit differently. David Mundell won via unanimous decision, 30-27, I believe was the unanimous tally for all three judges, as he beat Jared Lawton from Farmingdale, Maine. And Lawton just couldn't get things going, was beat up early on, and then when things got a little greasier towards the second and third rounds, he just couldn't get his submission game on point.
Yeah, you know, it was clear, unfortunately for Lawton, that Mundell's stand up was on another level. He really looked good. I mean, from everything that I understand too, Mundell is a legit fighter. Josh Harvey was sitting right next to us during that whole fight, and you know, he was talking about how when it goes to the ground and it gets later in the fight and you get all this sweat, it's going to be tough for Lawton to do what he's best at, which is his ground game. And he actually had a couple of submissions there in the third round where it looked like he might have got an ankle lock or a knee bar. I'm not sure. There was one submission attempt he was going for when he was on the left side of the cage and I was kind of blocked a little bit. I couldn't completely see. But yeah, he went for a couple of attempts and he just wasn't able to get it. And Mundell was able to slip out. And yeah, he won an impressive fight.
And what was the saying that Josh was, is like, try putting two eels in a barrel.
Wheels in a bucket. Two wheels in a bucket when you go fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you're not going to be able to stay together. You'll be able to slip right out.
And that made a lot of sense. Jared, last minute Lawton, though, tried to get that last minute submission, just could not get either, like, it was like a modified ankle lock he was trying to get onto, and he tried a couple of guillotines, nothing was going by, and it just...
He was cranking on him, too. He really was.
Yeah. Give credit to Mundell for getting out of it, first and foremost, and then just being able to win that fight with relative ease. I mean, the only thing he really had to worry about in the third round was not getting knocked out or not tapping, and he was able to avoid both of those.
And Lon's a really good guy. He's a well-rounded fighter, you know, and man, I shook his hand there after the weigh-ins when I met him, and he's got hands the size of like a big bear claw, you know what I mean? So he's a massive man, and I'm sure he's going to be back stronger than ever.
Aaron Lacy won via a decision against John Santos in the battle between Maine and New Hampshire, and it was one that I think John Santos didn't agree with, thinking he won rounds one and three because of the takedown he had late in that contest. But, I mean, Aaron Lacy is a force. He got popped in the first round, looked like he was in trouble, was saved. I don't know if he was saved by the bell, but he saved himself, and then in round two came out there, dominated, had a great flurry of punches, was working that front leg of Santos, and then I think he did enough, at least on my card, to win that third and get the victory to stand defeated.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Lacy won the second and third rounds, clearly. You know, and in the first round, too, even when he was, playing defense after he got popped, he was actively playing defense. I don't feel like even if there was a couple of minutes left in that round, he would have got finished. I think he would have got right back up, and he would have probably got the fight right back into the center of the octagon or the cage and, you know, continued to do what he did for the second and third round, which was chop down the leg, have good movement, and his striking is on point. So I really like Aaron Lacy. One of my favorite fighters to watch. I can't wait to see him back in again really soon.
And we'll see. He did take some damage last night after the fight. He did look a little worse for wear. Initially, he looked great. Then the swelling came in. You'll hear from him today. We'll dissect the fight a little bit more with him as he joins us in studio. But he looks a lot better today than he did last night. And we'll see when he gets back into the ring, because I would love to see it here soon, because he's just such an exciting fighter. And I think he's much like Josh Harvey, going for bigger and better things here in the future as his career progresses, because he's such a young guy, too.
Yeah, agreed. I can't wait. I mean, I really look forward to that day where, you know, he's knocking on the door for a UFC contract, because he's such a good guy and he's a great fighter. You know, he just deserves it. And you can just tell that he's putting his heart and soul into furthering his MMA career. And I sincerely hope that he does get that shot, because it couldn't happen to a better guy.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more with Aaron Lacy, and another fight we'll talk about in a little bit more length with the winner. But we'll talk about it here as well. Devin Powell from Wells, Maine, beat John Lemke. And that was the first round. It was
rear
the
naked.
First round.
Rear naked choke.
I was trying to remember it, because a couple of them are starting to blur together here.
It was an exciting night, Brian.
Really,
I couldn't fall asleep last night. I was just stimulated with all the action, just being right across from Dana White and Matt Serra, Dean Thomas. I mean, it was just an unbelievable night.
Just to kind of put this in perspective, though, and what happened if you did miss it. Lemke popped him right in the nose.
Broke his nose.
It almost looked like there was so much blood he was bleeding from the mouth because it was coming down. Like, do you know the artist Andrew WK?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Party Hard. It looked like that. It looked because the blood was gushing straight out of his nose down his face, and he was in some trouble. Some major trouble. But the problem was John didn't take advantage of that one. And we actually saw him after the fight. He was relaxing with some friends, kind of, you know, it's a long training camp. It's a long build up to this fight, so he was getting a little bit loose. And I think you said to him, just, you know what you should do? You gave him a chance to get back at you. He knew that it might be a medical stoppage at some point, because he was bleeding so much and his nose was so broken, that if he can continue to push forward and continue to push it, probably could have ended that fight against Devin.
Yeah, I love John. I've known John for quite some time now. He's a dear friend, and I'm one of his biggest fans. He's an incredibly talented fighter, and you know, I just told him last night, I mean, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is just one person, but I feel like just previous fights I've seen of John's, he's had guys hurt, and he hasn't had that, I don't know if it's a killer instinct, but you need to be able to capitalize when you have a guy hurt and get the fight over with, because a lot of these guys that are training nowadays, they're so tough that if you don't capitalize and put them away when you have them hurt, they will get back into the fight. And that's exactly what happened with Devin Powell. And he really felt that urgency to get the fight over with after he had his nose broken, because as the fight would have gone on, it would have been tougher and tougher for him to breathe. And I would have imagined that John would have gotten him out in the second or third round if he was able to get out of the first round. So, you know, kudos to Devin Powell, because he had that urgency to really come back after that big shot, and he got the rear naked choke.
Yeah, dropped John on an uppercut, and then after that, put in that submission, was able to work through it, and nicely done there from Devin Powell, who really seemed to get some interest from Dana White. He can't really talk about what his conversation was with Dana, but all things considered, I think we might be seeing him in a UFC-related event here in the near future, which I think would be great.
Yeah, because how cool would that be?
He deserves it too, honestly, the way he's been fighting.
Yeah, I mean, he's 8-1 now. He's the NAF lightweight champ. Yeah. He solidified that last night in beating the guy that a lot of people felt beat Bruce Boynton, who never lost the belt, who actually is the only person to beat Devin Powell. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people felt Lemke beat Boynton, and that was such a controversial decision.
Yeah.
And you saw what Powell did last night. So, yeah, he's got big things on the horizon.
Next up, Ryan Sanders winning via a split decision against Derek Carrington.
Kennington.
And Kennington, we talked with him afterwards too, thought he had done enough to win as well, but he also maybe thought that the Myrtle Beach native wasn't going to get it over the Bangor, Maine native, especially being in his hometown. But, you know, Ryan Sanders got the crowd going. He was definitely the most cheered for local fighter because of his pedigree, because he's been fighting so frequently in this area and in Lewiston, that he has that support. And you know what? He did exactly what he needed to do to win.
You know, the only booze that Ryan Sanders got last night was in the post-fight speech where he's saying, "Go Cowboys, it's our year."
Wow.
Hey, Ryan, next time we have you on, we need to talk about this. This is Patriots country, buddy. We need to rep the Patriots. Enough of this Cowboy stuff.
What was that, by the way? "Go Cowboys, this is our year." Wow, I've never seen a crowd turn on someone so quickly.
Yeah, that was hysterical. That was really funny. But, you know, honestly, Kennington had some nice takedowns. He controlled Sanders on the ground. He really didn't do a lot of damage, though. Mm. Sanders was able to get back up to his feet, and he hit him with some clean shots. I mean, geez, there was a couple of times that he hit Kennington where I thought Kennington was going down. You know, and I think really that was the difference.
Yep.
And I understand Kennington's point of feeling like, you know, he got kind of a home job decision, because he did look good. He had his moments in the fight. But that was one of those fights where, depending on how you score the fight, whether you give points for takedowns or you're saying, well, this guy outpointed him on the feet.
Yep.
It's like, what are the judges looking for? That's why Dana White always says never leave it in the hands of the judges, because you never know how they're going to score the fight. And this is one of those fights that it really could have gone either way. But, you know, I can see why Sanders got the nod, because he did a lot on the feet. He really did.
The takedowns for Kennington were very nice, but unfortunately it didn't really impact the fight, because Sanders was able to get out of it. He was still able to work everything he needed to work to be the winner, the victor of this contest. I scored it the same way the judges did. I thought Sanders won. I thought it was close, but I still think he won.
I agree, and I will say this, you know, I think Kennington has a bright future.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a tough guy, man, and
he's got that look, too.
Yeah.
You just see him with the beard and everything.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like a young Johnny Hendricks.
That's interesting. Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, the funny thing, though, I was thinking, I wonder how much this played into the fight, because I saw Kennington after the weigh-ins. He looked miserable.
Mm.
He looked miserable. Mm. Out of all the fighters that I saw, he looked like he was in the most pain, so I wonder how much the weight cut affected his performance, if any. You know, maybe he needs to fight at 170. I don't know what he walks around at, but he's a pretty rugged guy. So, you know, maybe at some point down the line, you know, he should think about fighting up at 170. It might be an easier cut for him, and he might go into the fight stronger, and he can utilize what he's clearly great at, which is wrestling, clinch work. He'd be a strong guy at 55 or 70. So, you know, something to think about. It's just my opinion, but I noticed that at the weigh-ins, and he did look like he had a tough time making the weight.
And finally, the main event, the two guys who were brought in, one from Glendale, California, one from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and the winner, Ricardo Lucas Ramos, who I was pulling for after the disrespect from, what was it, Kajakian?
Yeah, Alfred Kajakian out of Glendale Fighting Club. That's where Ronda Rousey has trained out of Edmund Tarverdian, her head coach, who was there last night in attendance. Yeah, that was weird, man. He ran over and like jumped up and like stomped like his feet like as hard as he could. It like shook the whole arena, right. And he like screamed at him, and everyone's like, what was that?
And then Ramos extends his hand to like shake it and just say good luck, and he just no-sold it completely.
Yeah, and it got everybody turned on the guy from Glendale. He's the guy that's fighting out of America, and everyone's cheering for Brazil.
Everyone's like, go Brazil, because they didn't know the guy's name. Go Brazil. And yeah, he did a great job. Ramos was impressive, and he was actually avenging a loss from a previous Looking for a Fight episode in which he was on the card and lost on it. So he came out here. People thought that it was going to be, he was the sacrificial lamb, so to speak, to see Kashiakian guy go in there and get the victory and then get signed. That's what at least a lot of people are speculating, but not the case. Ricardo Lucas Ramos goes out there, has exactly his way with him, basically, and looked extremely impressive.
His takedowns were really unbelievable. It was like glue, man. He was just stuck to him the whole fight. Anytime that Alfred would try to pick up a big shot or whatever, Ramos just shot and got him down to the ground, and his jiu-jitsu was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, good for him. He deserved to win that fight, and I was pulling for him after that disrespect in the beginning. So, good kudos for Ricardo Lucas Ramos.
And much like Ronda Rousey, the man from Glendale also tapped out in his last fight.
You had to go there, huh?
Had to go there. So that was the card. Great one. Looking forward to it. Next NEF card in September. We're also looking forward to Heroes and Villains. It should be a great time in Lewiston.
September 10th. That's actually the day before the Patriots have their first football game. So that's going to be one heck of a weekend.
What
I'm really
a weekend
looking forward
for you,
to that.
Ryan. Man, you are going to be just on cloud nine.
Are you kidding me?
Hopefully you get some sleep, because you're going to have a busy work week, I'm assuming, afterwards, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine so. I mean, maybe I'll take Monday off.
There you go.
Hopefully my boss doesn't hear this.
Well, we got a great show lined up for you today. We'll hear from Devin Powell, Aaron Lacy, and coming up after the break, Derek Brown. We'll also hear from Dean Thomas, Matt Serra, and yes, Dana White. You were talking with Aaron Lacy, and I saw Dana leave, and I'm like, I'm booking it. So I got him in the back. Well, we'll talk to him a little bit about local MMA, what he's doing, if he can tell us a little about Looking for a Fight. And finally, we'll end with Cub Swanson. We'll hear from him and see what his thoughts are on a big UFC fight night coming up here in the MMA ranks. So I'm looking forward to it. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I am the Alpha Omega, Black Flag Swanger. Boy, I'm in airplane hangers. Me and my gang popping champagne like Vegas for all of them days with no lights and no
cameras. We are back at the main event, Ryan Jarrell and Brian Stackpole. Our next guest is Derek Brown out of Fitness Edge MMA in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And Derek put up one heck of a performance last night in beating Brendan Battles via second round TKO in a heck of a fight. Derek, how pleased are you with your performance?
I'm really pleased with it. Coming up to heavyweight, normally fighting 205, this was pretty much a big challenge because he was a much bigger guy than I'm normally used to fighting, but it was all good, I just had to keep my composure and, grind it out.
Was there anything that Brendan did that surprised you?
Nothing he did really surprised me. I did think he was going to shoot a lot more than he did, but I think I did a good job with stuffing his first couple of takedowns to try and discourage shooting a lot. And I tried to throw a lot of kicks and uppercuts to discourage that as well.
How clean was that groin shot you took? We were both cage side, and it didn't look pretty. I was cringing for you. Was it as clean as it looked?
Yeah, it was pretty clean. I should be used to it by now. I declare, each fight I've had these last couple of I've got hit right in the groin. But it lifted me up off the ground. I was just like, goodness gracious.
Now, were there any thoughts in your head about maybe just even stopping it because the pain was so much, or you just thought to yourself, I just want to go out there and finish this match either way?
Nah, there was nothing. Nothing about stopping it came into my mind. I was just like, I just need to get this pain out real fast, and I'll be good to go.
Now, was this something you also were looking at and trying to, alleviate yourself from getting hit there again? Because I noticed as he had you in a clinch there for a moment on the cage, you were holding your hand down a little bit. Of course, he was throwing some knees, but it almost looked like you were shielding yourself from yet another groin shot.
Yeah, I was trying to shield myself from knees to the body and the groin. I mean, one caught me in the leg that was kind of close. It kind of scared me a little bit, and I was just like, oh, but, you know, it wasn't there, so like, I just kept going. I just had to keep going and just like try to like work out of that situation. I was trying to like avoid another groin shot.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that first one just looked horrific. So any avoidance is probably the smart thing to do. I know I spoke with Matt Peterson, the president of the NEF, as you know, before the fight, and he had mentioned that if Brendan Battles picked up a win, that he might get the next shot at the NEF Heavyweight Championship. Is that something that is going to be on your plate here soon?
We briefly spoke about that, and you know, I'm always down to fight. You know, I'm not either heavyweight or two or light heavyweight. So like, if it's offered to me, you know, and we like, we'll talk about it, and like, we come to a good conclusion, you'll see me up there fighting for that belt.
Man, that'd be great to have you back. And you know, your teammates Brandon Bushaw and Derek Kennington. Bushaw has competed in the NEF multiple times now, and this was Kennington's first. Do you think that the trio of you will be back up collectively as a group and compete individually?
I think all three of us will be back and bring some more of our teammates, because NEF is an awesome promotion. You know, it's one of the best ones I've been a part of so far.
I gotta say,
this is great.
Oh, sorry about that. You can keep going.
I was like, everything about it was just great. How they had everything set up and lined up, everything was just perfect for it.
Now, I just want to go back to a moment in the fight. I think it was the second round where you busted him open. And then you hit it again, and I think you hit it the third time, and it really just popped and sprayed a little bit. Did you know he was in trouble once he was just gushing blood like that, and you had clipped him so clean?
I knew I had him. I knew I had found my range. I was just trying to find my range the first round, but after I found my range and I knew where I was, like, it was just time to like start picking them apart. And like, one of the things I work on a lot is my striking. I'm good. Like, I don't mind going to the ground if it goes there, but my striking is like one of my things I work on the most, just because every fight starts on the feet. So like, that's where I want to try and keep it a lot of times too.
And finally, for me at least, did you talk with Dana? And if you did, what did he say to you?
I didn't get a chance to really talk with Dana. You know, everybody was like trying to maul him last night. So like, I did get him in. I did get to shake his hand. He told me I had a great fight. I got to talk with Matt Serra a little bit. He said I had a good fight as well.
Now, Matt Serra is kind of a character, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's awesome, though. Like, he's funny.
Now, one other thing I want to ask you about is your teammate Derek Kennington's fight against Ryan Sanders. That was a great fight. It was razor close. I spoke to DK afterwards, and he was very disappointed. How did you score the fight? Do you feel like Derek did enough to win?
I think he did. Like, he took him down each round, and each round he ended the round on top, except for probably that last one. And you know, his takedowns were really good. I mean, I don't think it was a unanimous decision on that part, on the other guy's part. I do think that it probably could have won split decision, but I'm not a judge, so it was out of my hands at that point.
Yeah, I agreed. I believe one of the judges had it 30-26, if I recall. Which I definitely didn't see that. I thought it was a 28-27 fight, no matter which way you looked at it. So hopefully, you know, he can keep his head up and come back up to the promotion and fight again soon, because we'd love to have all three of you at Fitness Edge back up here again.
Yeah, he's definitely resilient. Like, he's made me such a much better fighter since he came to our gym. So like, he'll definitely keep his head up. We won't let him keep his head down too long.
Well, again, thank you for joining us today, Derek. We need to have you back on. Let us know when your next fight will be, and we'll get you back on and talk about that when the time comes.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Derek Brown of Fitness Edge MMA, who improved to 5-3 last night after beating Brendan Battles at NEF Presents. Dana White looking for a fight. Talk to you soon, Derek.
All right.
We are back on the main event with a big winner last night. Devin Powell improved to 8-1. And he fights out of Nostos MMA, and he's a brown belt out of Port City BJJ. Devin, that was an unbelievable fight last night. First off, did John really break your nose? And what kind of a mindset did you have after taking that shot and still finishing the way that you did?
broke my nose. I posted a picture today. If you you want, you can put that on your show. I'm sure you can find a way to plug it in there. But yeah, it was totally sideways. Before I got my hand raised, my coach set it for me, which was pretty nice of him. It doesn't look too ugly now, but it was totally sideways. I started bleeding a lot, and I knew my nose was hurt, but I saw something on my face I tried to wipe away, and then it turned out that it was me seeing my nose off to the side. So I kind of figured there's a chance the ref wouldn't let me keep going after the medics or whatnot. So I kind of started pressing a little bit harder because I didn't want to have my chance taken away if the fight gets stopped in between rounds. So I kind of got a little more aggressive, caught him with a big shot, caught him with another one, and then, sank my hooks and got the rear naked choke.
Yeah, the uppercut that you hit him with was pretty impressive. It was a very flush shot. How do you assess your performance? Are you pleased looking back at it now?
Yeah, it was all kind of a whirlwind of events. I was really kind of in rest mode before. I hurt my foot pretty good before this fight, in my last fight. And I really haven't been able to use it. I tried using it once this camp just to test it, and I immediately kind of, busted it back up. It was rough a little bit. I threw it right off the bat this fight, and it immediately kind of blew up on me. But, it's just the game, and no one goes in too healthy all the time. I'm just happy that I was able to go in and get a finish in a short notice fight. And then it's not too much of an excuse because Monkey probably has 5 weeks at the most anyways. The thing was put together, I think it was 5 weeks when they, kind of set it up, got the fight set, and then it was fight night. So everybody's going on short camp. So I think everybody was just happy to go and perform well if they did.
Devin, how did the atmosphere in the crowd compare to some of the other stops, like Lewiston, for instance? How was the Bangor crowd for you last night?
I was good. I knew it's like the guy from right down the road. Everybody treated me well. So, his fans came over to me. I have no animosity towards John. I like John a lot. But everyone was really cool. There was a loud crowd. I think everybody was just kind of rooting for the guys from Maine in general. I'm from Maine at heart. I live in Wells, Maine now. I grew up in South Berwick. My whole family on my mom's side is from Allegash, which is another 4 hours past Bangor, pretty much. So it's, Bangor is just a happy medium between two of my homes.
Yeah, the class that both you and John showed before, during, and after the fight was really something to behold. It's one of the reasons why I love this sport is because, for the most part, most of the competitors that do this are very humble and respectful of one another, and you two really did a good job of doing that with one another. I want to touch upon real quick, after you got the win, you jumped up on top of the cage and were yelling something at Dana White. What was it you were saying?
When I jumped on the cage, I'm pretty sure I just asked if he liked what he saw, and then I asked him if my nose was broken because I already kind of knew the answer, and he just smiled and nodded yes.
And I know you can't talk too much about your conversations with Dana, but overall pretty positive with his reaction to the fight and everything else involved?
Yeah, he was super impressed. He loved the fight, for sure. Hopefully I get some limelight on the show, but I kind of got to wait and see, I guess. He also spoke with fans just for a minute and said how great his fight was, which that was an awesome fight to watch. I was kind of in and out for it, but I get to see a little bit, and it was awesome seeing him fight such a tough guy from Maine and get the W. I hope he gets a big shot that I think he deserves as well, in the near future.
What's next for you in the NEF? Do you have any ideas when you're going to defend your lightweight belt?
Right now, I'm
I definitely, before this fight, I was saying it was going to be rest mode for a little bit, and now it definitely is, because my foot three busted. My knee popped pretty bad when I set my hook. I felt it in the fight. A lot of times I don't feel things until later, but I felt that right in the fight, and I can't really bend it or anything right now. I'm going to go with Elagash, rest a couple days, see how injured I actually am, and then see what the next step is. I mean, NES puts on an incredible show, so they're always, you know, an awesome option. So, and if they really want me to defend my belt, you know, it's definitely an honor doing it for a league like that. So I think it's just get healthy for the first time in a while, enjoy this win, and get a little family time, and then see what's next. The next show, honestly, probably is a little too close, because I probably need at least that time before I can even test my nose, because it gets so broken. The doctor at back will be 6 weeks probably before it's like stable, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, you definitely deserve some time off, and it was a hell of a fight, and hell of a win for you as you progress your career and maybe on to bigger and better things. But Devin, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you back in the ring again here soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Us MMA guys love this.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon, bud.
All right, later.
You know, we've been talking to you about Seasons Grill and Sports Lounge at 427 Main Street in Bangor, but we're going to give you yet another reason. It's not just the Samuel Adams pre-party concerts. It's not just the take-in menu, which you can actually order ahead of time and have your lunch ready for you, and it's going to be there for you when you arrive. So that's a great deal. But Seasons also, for a limited time only, has fresh Maine lobsters. Now, when I say fresh Maine lobsters, I'm not talking about just some random fresh lobsters that have been sitting around in the back freezer for, I don't know, a couple months or so, or maybe processed down from Massachusetts and sent up. These are literally right off the boat. They might have been caught that morning, because one of our owners here at Seasons actually catches these lobsters himself, and he brings them here to Seasons, and then they serve it to you. So we have two different specials for you. We got the Lazy Man Lobster, where we take all the work out of it for you and prepare it so it's ready to eat, and you can have the deliciousness that is this lobster straight from the boat on the coast of Maine. Or, if you're so choosing, go with a lobster roll. Always a great choice there, too, if you want a little extra, you know, carbohydrates on the side, too. And the best part about it is that they're $14.95. Yes, $14.95 a piece. And if you get two, you can double the savings as well. So come on down to Seasons and get the Lazy Man Lobster or a lobster roll for just $14.95. And if you want to check out for more information, go to SeasonsBangor.com. That's SeasonsBangor.com. BANGOR.com for more information. And also, look out for the new website at SeasonsBangor.com and enjoy some lobster at Seasons for just $14.95.
Yeah. Yeah. Get up! Get up! Yeah. Yeah. Yes, here we go again. Give you more, nothing lesser. Back on the mic is the antidepressor. Hell rock, no pressure. Yes, we need this. The best is yet to come in. Yes, believe.
Ryan Jarrell and Brian Stackpole back here for the main event. We have Aaron Relentless Lacy in studio today. Aaron just picked up a big, big win last night at NEF Presents Dana White Looking for a Fight. He beat John Santos via split decision, and he has now improved to 2-0 in his professional career. Aaron, for my money, that was my favorite fight of the night. You put on an unbelievable performance. We spoke after your fight last night, and although you won, you seemed a little disappointed. How would you assess your performance?
I would say that it was a very good display of my heart, which is something that I didn't want to have to rely on for sure. You know, I got caught pretty hard in that first round, kind of changed the momentum of the fight. I haven't had a chance to go back and see any film, so giving my honest opinion of it is something I can't do at the moment. I'm my own worst critic for sure. I pick on myself harder than my coaches half the time. So I just kind of took everything with a grain of salt and took what they said. I haven't heard one bad review about it yet, so I'm going to take that as a good thing.
I think everyone, at least consensus-wise, thought that was the fight of the night. I know the main event drew a lot of interest, but the way you guys went back and forth, with you losing the first round, I think, by a lot of people's opinion, but coming back, having a tremendous round two, and then I think you won round three handedly as well. but you seem a little disappointed with everything because of the split decision nature.
Yeah, I don't like to leave questions when I'm done a fight. I'm the kind of person that likes to put a stamp on it, so when people go back and watch it or they're there watching it in person, there's no question. You know, when the judges read the decision or my hand gets raised after the finish, like, I don't want people to question whether I won or not, and I think having a split decision leaves that question, and that's something that definitely kind of eats at me inside. I don't like any questions. I like to put a stamp on it and show that, you know, I won that fight.
Well, I scored it 28-27 for you. I thought you won rounds two and three, if that means anything for you. Regardless, unbelievable fight. Was there anything Santos did that surprised you at all?
Not too much, honestly. He was a guy coming into it that I knew I had to respect. You know, he had a 3-3 record going into it, but if you look at who he fought some of the toughest guys in New England. He fought Vavka Clay, Bill Jones, Aaron Petruzzelli, Joey Gomez, and he made a lot of these guys look bad in the process. You know, he caught a lot of people. He dropped almost everybody he's fought. So I knew, you know, he's definitely a natural puncher, and I knew going into it that he's someone I had to respect. I don't think there was anything that was honestly too surprising. We knew he was either going to come out right off and try and rip my head off, or he was going to come out and be a little bit more tactical and try and pick his shots, and that's what he did. So there wasn't anything that was super surprising there.
Speaking of respect, a little disrespect from him, thinking that, first of all, he won the fight, and it's good to have the confidence, but he just seemed a little bit like that was bringing him down too much to even really congratulate you on the victory, too.
Yeah, in the cage, definitely. I think after, you know, I talked to him a little bit, and we kind of went back and forth in the doctor's office a little bit, too. He's like, oh, man, like, I think I won that third round with that takedown. I was like, dude, I wasn't even on my back for 10 seconds, man. Like, you know, we kind of went back and forth, you know. I would have been happy if we did a fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, seventh round. I don't care. You know, he started talking trash in the end of the third round, asking me if that's the best I got and all this stuff. And, you know, his back was on the cage while I was punching him in the face. So it's like, you can talk all you want, dude, but I'm still hitting you in the face. And I can do this all day. I don't talk a lot of trash. I didn't get drawn into it. I stayed, did the game plan. And, you know, that's why I got the victory.
Yeah, it's like you always hear Dana White, Joe Rogan, and you know, Goldie there. They're always talking about right. Octagon control. I felt like you were the one controlling where the fight went in that third round. That's part of the reason why I gave you the round. You were the one that was bringing the fight to him. Would you agree?
I agree. I think I definitely controlled the second and third round. The second round was by far my best round, I feel. The third round, you know, was definitely tighter, contested for sure, but I feel like I was controlling where the fight was, where it was going, and what was happening. You know, yeah, he got his takedown, like he said, but like I also said, I got back up in about 10 seconds. So I don't really think it scored as heavily as he kind of felt it did.
You know, I was obviously watching your fight, watching every move that you guys made closely, but at the same time, I was trying to keep an eye out for Dana White, watching his reactions when you guys were going at it. And I saw him on multiple occasions, like jumping up, kind of leaning in, just looking very
excited.
He was
going nuts, yeah.
Yeah, he was going nuts. It was like seeing him cage set at the UFC, because, you know, just as an excited fan watching the fight. Did you get a chance to speak with Dana afterwards, and what did he say to you?
I did. I actually got back to my phone. I had about 50 text messages on my phone that everyone's like, dude, you need to come out here and meet Dana White. You got to talk to him. You got to do this. You got to do that. But I was like, man, I got to ice my foot before I can do anything. I can barely walk. But my dad actually gave Dana White the shirt off his back, and he left the Cross Center last night shirtless because he gave Dana White my fight shirt off of his back, which is pretty cool. So my dad gets dad points for life for that one. And I did get a chance to talk to him and Dean Thomas and Matt Serra. I got some good feedback, and you know, I feel like they were impressed, and I feel like they know who I am now, which was the goal of it going in. So I feel like I accomplished that for sure.
Well, I actually asked Matt Serra. I said, "Who impressed you? I know the main event," and he said, "Yeah, the main event was really great." But I said, "Who locally really impressed you?" And he couldn't think of your name, so it's not disrespectful there. I don't think he just it's Matt Serra. He's forgetful, but he's like, "Yeah, that guy." It's like, third from the top fight, blue trunks. I'm like, you mean Aaron Lacy? He's like, yeah, absolutely. He starts going off on how great your fight was. So he definitely thought you were one of the best here locally for sure, well, at least on the last night. So
I'm glad that helps me sleep a little better at night for sure. You know, being the harsh critic of myself that I am, having guys of their stature and their fortitude give me that kind of compliment helps out for sure.
How about Young's Night? Young's MMA 4-0. I mean, it started with Josh, continued on. CJ, probably the knockout of the night. You have probably the fight of the night. And then the crowd was really behind Ryan, and he won as well. So, jeez, that's a pretty banner night for Chris Young and company.
Yeah, that was like the icing on the cake, you know. We had four guys on the card. We all trained together. We all sweat and bleed and everything together daily at the gym. And being able to share that moment with those guys was fantastic, you know. And being able to put on like that for my coach, who was very nervous and excited, it was awesome. And there was, like I said, there was no way, like when I got hit in that first round, there was no way that that fight was ending like that in front of my hometown. It just wasn't going to happen.
You know, as Brian mentioned, both Josh and CJ got first round finishes, but you and Ryan Sanders had a couple of wars. We've talked about how you felt about your fight. Speak on Ryan Sanders' fight, because, you know, we spoke with Derek Kennington afterwards at Seasons when he was eating. He was very disappointed. He felt like he won the fight. You know, for me, I feel like it was kind of a coin flip, but it was really close. It just depends on how you want to score the fight. If you look for takedowns and you give points, or if you look for someone like Ryan who's scoring points on punch and kicks, and I mean, both guys put up a great performance. How did you score that fight?
Well, first of all, I'm biased, so let's just get that out of the way. I definitely had it for Ryan. I didn't get to catch all of it, just being, you know, caught up in the doctors and trying to get back out there and watch it. You know, the whole process of having to go through medicals after a fight and everything.
Right.
The Powell fight, from what I was told, was fairly quick, and so it was Powell between me and Ryan, and that was pretty quick. So Ryan got out there a lot quicker than I would have expected, but from what I saw, I would give the fight for Ryan. He's one of those guys that's always trying to end the fight, always trying to put on a good show and be an entertainer while sticking to his game plan. I feel like he did that. I feel like he executed, and I feel like he kind of got overlooked. I think out of everybody on the card, besides from maybe the main event, who was two guys I've never seen before, haven't fought locally, Ryan has fought the toughest guys around in multiple weight classes. He's fought the best at 70 and 55, and I think he kind of got a little overlooked last night, and, you know, it is what it is, but I feel like Ryan deserves a lot more attention than he got, for sure.
When can we expect to see you fight again next? I mean, you've got a huge fan in both myself and Brian, yep. And, you know, we just can't wait to see you back in the cage, so when can we expect to see you again?
As soon as possible, hopefully. I'm going to heal up. I don't think I have anything super serious as far as injuries go, so hopefully as soon as possible. You know, it's what I love to do. I set a goal for myself this year that I wanted to fight four times this year, and it's only been twice, and it's August. So, you know, that only leaves me 4 months to get in those last two. So hopefully real quick.
I was about to say, you did go through a war, a three-round battle, but you still look pretty pretty. I mean, a little cut here. The foot's a little gnarly, but still pretty right there.
Yeah, I mean, fighting's fighting. You're not going to walk out of it without a scratch, you know. I mean, you can occasionally, but it's very rare. I prepared for everything. I prepared for a quick finish. I prepared for this war that I went through, and my training prevailed for sure. So I'm definitely going to try and heal up and get back in there as soon as I can.
Would you like another crack at Santos? I mean, I know you said you don't like leaving it to the hands of the judges. You don't like a decision, especially a split decision. Would you like to get back in there with him and put an exclamation point on this and beat him soundly?
I mean, I'd fight anybody for sure. I don't necessarily see a lot of justification in an immediate rematch where it's only the second fight of my pro career. I don't think there's enough behind it to warrant a rematch, but I mean, I'm definitely game to fight Santos again any day of the week.
So give it a little breathing room. You'd at least want to, if possible, get another
opponent.
Yeah, you
know, see where we develop with our careers, and, you know, it was a fight. It was a three-round fight. He can think what he wants. I can think what I want, you know, but the bottom line is there's a winner and a loser, and, you know, last night I came out on top. And I have nothing but respect for John. I just don't agree with how I was treated after the fight. And no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, I've lost. I've always been respectful. It's one thing I pride myself on. And if you're not going to show me that same respect after what we went through, then it's like, why would I give you another fight?
Well, you deserve to be smiling today after the performance you put on. What are you gonna do this weekend to celebrate? Anything planned?
I was gonna try and eat some food, but I'm pretty sore, so chewing's a little bit of a struggle. You know, I'm just gonna hang out with my family. It's great to not have to drive back, you know, 2 hours from somewhere today or tomorrow. You know, most of the time I fight on Saturday nights. So I'm just going to just kind of do what I want, stay relaxed, you know, ice up the injuries and just have some fun.
Any movies that maybe you'd kick back and watch? I know the new Bourne movie just came out. I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
I heard the new Bourne movie's good. I actually went and saw Suicide Squad before the fight yesterday. Oh, cool. So that was pretty
good. How was that? I didn't hear good things about it from reviews.
There were aspects of it I definitely enjoyed. I was not a big fan of Jared Leto as the Joker, but luckily he didn't have a huge role in it. Will Smith as Deadshot was fantastic. His interaction with Margaret Robbie, who played Harley Quinn, and the actor that played Rick Flagg was awesome. They kind of led the whole film, and then all the other villains were kind of B-list or secondary to them, but the interactions they had were pretty good. Some of the fight scenes were a little disappointing, and I feel like there was things here and there that definitely could have been tweaked to make it a little better, but overall, I wasn't disappointed. I mean, I'd see it again, so.
They were nice.
Well, if you're in the Bangor Brewer area and you happen to see Aaron Relentless Lacey around, go up and shake this man's hand because he is a warrior and he's now improved to 2-0 after finishing a very game John Santos last night via split decision at NEF Presents Dana White looking for a fight. Aaron, it's always great having you on. We can't wait to have you back in again soon. And you know what? When we do our next prediction show, we just need to have him come in and do his analyst thing because he's so good at it.
I'm 100% down for that. I love being in here. It's a lot of fun. You guys are great, so I'm definitely down for that.
Perfect. We'll do it soon. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, first and foremost, what's it like being back in Bangor, Maine, and taking in some fights today?
It's always awesome. I love it here. And, you know, obviously the fights were awesome. I mean, the fights tonight were killer. They were as good as any fights we've ever been to.
The main event was great, but who locally, too, out of this New England fight promotion that really impressed you today?
Yeah, actually, we're gonna go back here now and talk to a couple of guys. I don't want to give it up because we got a TV show to do. But I was impressed with everybody tonight. But obviously, I can't take everybody. But I'm interested in a couple of guys.
I know you don't want to divulge too much, but can you give us a little glimpse on what exactly you may have done here in Maine?
We did some drag racing. We did some demolition derby. We made some red hot dogs. We made some lobster rolls. You know, we do things that are local to the, you know, whatever city or town we're in.
Now, I know you're a rock fan, too. There's a concert at the Waterfront tomorrow. Will you be making an appearance, or are you jetting it now?
Tomorrow, we're chilling at my house, and then we're going to go to Sturgis for the bike rally. Yeah, we're going to be there for 3 days.
What has this last couple of months been for you? The RNC, of course, all the stuff going on with the potential sale of the UFC and just a huge UFC 200 fight card. It's just been quite a whirlwind for you.
Yeah, it's been nutty. It's been, the whole deal thing kind of freaked me out a little bit. And, you know, if somebody would have told me I would have reacted that way to it, I'd have said, you're nuts. It's not my personality. But, you know, I've been with my partners for almost over 20 years now, actually. I've been with my partners over 20 years, and I'm not going to be with them anymore. And obviously the money gets you, too. It's a weird thing to go through. Thank God I got through it. I'm over it now. I'm back, and I feel good.
Now, almost 2 years to the date when UFC Fight Night was here with Ryan Bader and Vince St. Pro, a great card, too. Any possibility of a UFC return either to the state of Maine, if not Bangor specifically?
Well, it wasn't a real financially, you know, strong move, but it was something that I wanted to do for the city of Bangor. I love bringing money to this town. I love people coming in, staying in hotels, eating in restaurants, and, you know, cruising around here. And I love showing off this beautiful city. So any chance I ever get to do it, I do. And who knows? You never say never.
I am here with Dean Thomas, a longtime UFC vet. UFC 202 is right around the corner. I'm curious your thoughts on the McGregor-Diaz rematch.
You know what? That's an interesting fight because, you know, like, I've been juggling with the outcome of what I predict is going to happen, and I keep going back and forth. I mean, there's reason to believe that Nate will dominate. I don't think he's going to dominate, but there's reason to believe that he can win that fight, and there's also reason to believe that Conor could win that fight. I mean, he was winning up until he lost, so he got tired. I think if he just kind of goes out and just goes, you know what, I don't have to knock him out, and I can just outbox him and make it look good and have some fun, he can win that fight. The only problem with that is it is five rounds, and Nate Diaz is going to keep that pressure on him. So, I mean, it's an interesting fight. I think in three rounds, Conor wins, but in five, Nate may be able to put more pressure on him in the later rounds because if he can just keep the pressure up. But it's still an interesting fight. I mean, it's very difficult to say.
Regardless of what happens in that matchup, Conor's going to have to defend his featherweight belt against Jose Aldo. Obviously, I think most people expect this to go longer than the 13 seconds the first time that they fought. What do you expect in that matchup when that happens?
You know what? I think Jose is a great fighter. I think he's dominated the division for a decade. He beat Edgar. He beat him. You know, I thought it was a lot closer than many people gave, but he beat him. He still beat him. But you know what? He doesn't have the reach to deal with McGregor. I think McGregor's reach is going to be a problem for Conor. I think he's going to his leg kicks and his jab and his long left hands are going to be too much for Aldo.
Initial thoughts on the fight card tonight overall in general here in Bangor?
You know what's funny? We looked at some of the records and we weren't sure. We're like, we don't know if it was going to be a show. And what an exciting card. Great card. A lot of really a lot of good fights. All good fights. So, yeah, we were impressed.
Anyone in particular locally that really impressed you today that stood out over someone else?
Oh, man, now you'll put me on the spot. Man, there was so many good ones. The last guy, two guys weren't from here, right? That was a very, very good fight. There was one, blue shorts.
Aaron Lacy?
Yes. Good, very good. He was very impressive. And he had a tough first round when the guy who was fighting was 3-4. But tough son of a bitch. And I like the way he was putting together his combinations, ending on the leg. And he had a tough first round because he got caught. And he came back and he won the next two. So it was pretty impressive.
Now, you'd be the perfect person to ask this since you have fought George St. Pierre twice. There's rumors that he's coming back and he might get the shot against Woodley for the welterweight belt. How do you see that matchup going?
You know what's funny about that? I was just talking about that the other day on UFC Unfiltered, the podcast I'm doing. I think George could come back and could be competitive with anybody and possibly beat any one of these guys. I mean, as far as Woodley, he's the new champ. But, you know, with him and Kelvin, he had a split decision win. He lost to Rory McDonald. I mean, well, let's see if he holds on to the belt. Let's see what happens, man. I mean, he's got a little bit of, you got the belt, great. Holding on to it, take it from me. It's a whole other story. And George, if he came back, yeah, that'd be a very competitive match. But George is George, man. GSP, and he's proved more so far, so. You know.
One last quick question. UFC 202 is coming up soon. Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, the big rematch. How do you see this one shaking out?
I believe Diaz, and I think it's going to be worse. I mean, listen, the first round he got off to a little bit of a slow start, but the guy was on a beach in Cabo. You know what I mean? This one, I think it's going to be the same result. Diaz, well, I don't know which round, but I believe Diaz is going to put a beat down.
And finally, love the podcast. How has that been so far working with
Jim? Oh, that's a blast. UFC Unfiltered, if anybody doesn't know. Go get it on iTunes. It's myself with the great comedian Jim Norton. And it's UFC Unfiltered, iTunes. Get it, subscribe, leave a comment, and hopefully a favorable rating. I have to throw that in there.
Absolutely.
Good.
Thanks again, Matt.
Thank you.
You know we've been talking to you about Seasons Grill and Sports Lounge at 427 Main Street in Bangor, but we're going to give you yet another reason. It's not just the Samuel Adams pre-party concerts. It's not just the take-in menu, which you can actually order ahead of time and have your lunch ready for you, and it's going to be there for you when you arrive. So that's a great deal. But Seasons also, for a limited time only, has fresh Maine lobsters. Now, when I say fresh Maine lobsters, I'm not talking about just some random fresh lobsters that have been sitting around in the back freezer for, I don't know, a couple months or so, or maybe processed down from Massachusetts and sent up. These are literally right off the boat. They might have been caught that morning, because one of our owners here at Seasons actually catches these lobsters himself. And he brings them here to Seasons, and then they serve it to you. So we have two different specials for you. We got the Lazy Man Lobster, where we take all the work out of it for you and prepare it so it's ready to eat and you can have the deliciousness that is this lobster straight from the boat on the coast of Maine. Or, if you're so choosing, go with a lobster roll. Always a great choice there, too, if you want a little extra, you know, carbohydrates on the side, too. And the best part about it is that they're $14.95. Yes, $14.95 a piece. And if you get two, You can double the savings as well. So come on down to Seasons and get the Lazy Man Lobster or a lobster roll for just $14.95. And if you want to check out for more information, go to SeasonsBangor.com. That's SeasonsBangor, BANGOR.com for more information. And also, look out for the new website at SeasonsBangor.com and enjoy some lobster at Seasons for just $14.95.
Joined now on the show by UFC fighter and sixth-ranked featherweight Cub Swanson, who'll be facing Tetsuya Kawajiri at UFC Fight Night 92 coming up this weekend. Cub, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure.
First and foremost, you were on a long winning streak before some difficult submission losses to Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar, who are at the top of the division right now. But do you feel like you're back on track heading into this weekend after you did pick up a win back in April against Diaz?
Definitely. You know, you're going out there, and when you're on a winning streak, everything's, you know, working for you, and I was on the right track, obviously. Then you have back-to-back losses, and it was the first time in my career. It just showed me that there was some, that people had found some holes in my game, and I made sure that I, you know, spent the time to fix those things, and I came back and purposely took an opponent that could exploit that weakness again, and I shut them down, and just showed that I've been working and I'm evolving and I'm better than I've ever been.
How would you assess the division right now as a whole? It just seems to be loaded with top-tier fighters, including the champion Conor McGregor and the interim champ in Jose Aldo.
I mean, it's crazy. We have the same group of guys that have been at the top for forever, and we're finally getting these really hungry up-and-comers that are looking pretty dangerous, kind of coming through and washing out, like, you know, the people just outside the top 10. So we're going to get this whole new influx of great 145ers. And I think we just need the whoever's holding the belts to be a little bit more active and fight a little bit more and bring some attention back to this division.
Now, 29 fights already under your belt here at this point in your career. Are you still motivated by the UFC gold, or are you just more motivated by putting on a good fight and continuing your career as long as it could go?
I mean, the gold is always going to be there, but, you know, with the losses and the setback, I've really realized that I just need to focus on one fight at a time, really live in the present moment, and, you know, take every fight as if it could be my last, because that's when I do my best fighting, and really give the fans the show that they deserve. So, you know, this fight, this is my 30th professional fight. It's a milestone for me. It means a lot. I'm fighting a Japanese legend, Kawajiri. And I know that this fight is going to be a great fight for the fans, and that's all that's on my mind right now.
We're talking with Cub Swanson here on the program. As he mentioned, he will be taking on Kawajiri at UFC Fight Night 92 this weekend, exclusively on UFC Fight Pass. Before we get into your opponent, I do want to talk about the journey you have had, and you've come a long way to get to the UFC. Can you tell us about how you went from the gangs to being placed in a juvenile detention facility to eventually ending up in the octagon?
Yeah, I mean, like I always tell the kids, I go back to juvenile and talk to kids all the time and tell them it's all about life choices. I made choices to hang out with certain people. It put me in certain circles that led me to get in trouble. And when it's all said and done, there were choices that I made. When I got to juvenile hall, I decided to stop making those choices because it wasn't the thing for me. And when I started making the right choices, things started working in my favor, as hard as they were. And, you know, I found martial arts to find some balance in my life and got into MMA. And even though my first professional fights were in Tijuana and clubs, a lot of people thought that I was still being that knucklehead because fighting back then wasn't very cool. It wasn't accepted yet. And now all those people that still thought I was getting into trouble are my biggest fans. So it's pretty cool to just, you know, make those life choices that lead you from a negative direction to a positive direction.
Now, I was looking at your Twitter earlier today. It seems like you're very centered. You're very motivated, but it seems like your head's on really straight as you and you go into this fight this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have things outside of fighting that I'm setting myself up for my future, so I don't have that fear in the back of my head of what am I going to do if I get hurt or anything like that. I'm a little bit older and a little bit more mature. The one thing I can say is the sport taught me how to be a man. I'm grown up. I'm ready for this fight and ready for every fight after this.
Now, you mentioned your opponent, Kawajiri, who is a Japanese legend. He's fought for basically every single promotion now in mixed martial arts all over the world. Have you been doing anything in particular during your training to get ready for this opponent who is such a difficult one out there in the octagon?
Realistically, I'm just, working on the holes in my game, trying to be a better fighter, be a perfect fighter. I've always felt, and my coaches feel, that when I'm on point and I'm the best version of myself, that nobody can beat me. And, if I just focus on me being the best I can be, then I don't have to worry about him too much.
Now, sometimes it's a little taboo as a UFC fighter going into a big fight to predict your match or predict an outcome, but do you have any feeling on how it's going to go this Saturday?
Yeah, I strongly feel like I'm going to get a first-round knockout. I know he's going to, obviously work hard for this fight, and I know that it can go a million different ways, but just the way training is going, the way I've been looking, I really feel a first-round finish is going to happen.
Now, I was looking at your bio today earlier, and it says you went to college and mainly basically just to play soccer. Is that one of your other passions outside of mixed martial arts?
It used to be. I mean, as a kid growing up, I obsessed over the game, and that's all I wanted to do. But unfortunately, with life choices, it derailed that. And instead of going to a bigger college, I went to a junior college, and I was playing at 17 years old. Living on my own, and life was a little bit of a shock for me. So, unfortunately, that didn't work out. And this sport was the perfect sport, like I said, to teach me how to be a man and have me grow up and really learn what everything is about. And so, I'm fortunate that this sport is what I do for a living.
Well, after hearing a little bit of your story and knowing where you've come from, Cub, it's an honor to talk with you, and we're definitely going to be pulling for you in your weekend fight against Tetsuya Kawajiri at UFC Fight Night 92, and your fight will be the main event of the UFC Fight Night card, of course, on UFC Fight Pass. So thank you very much for the time, and we wish you the best of luck this weekend.
I really appreciate that. I hope all you guys tune in. I'm very excited about this fight. I promise it'll be a great one.
Whew, that's a long one. I mean, the intro was long, the interviews were long, but what a huge, huge NEF card that we just experienced last night. And again, a big thank you to everyone who's joined us on the lead up to the fight. We had almost every single fighter on the card, save for a couple of them in the main event, of course. But we really appreciate trying to grow MMA here locally and talking with people and getting the insight. Big thank you to everyone from Team Irish locally here and Young's MMA. Chris Young's been great with us too. And a big shout out to Matt Peterson of New England Fights for helping us out and joining us last episode too. And some great insight there. And how great were those seats, by the way?
Oh, my! I went over and thanked them before, during, and after.
Same here, yeah.
And it couldn't have been any better. I mean, I don't think I've ever been to an event where I've sat so close. I felt really special. My press badge said VIP. That was the first time I've ever had one of those.
You've never been a VIP before?
Well, I mean,
that's going to change now.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the main event is here to stay, and with Matt Peterson and the NEF, I really look forward to growing with the NEF and this sport and Maine and New England as much as possible. I ran into a couple of buddies of mine last night that I hadn't seen for a while, and everybody's just been so appreciative and saying nothing but great things about how they're enjoying the show, and it really means a lot to the both of us. So thank you to everybody who has said some kind words.
And while we're giving a thank you out there, we won't do predictions today because it's just been a horrid prediction. Horrible prediction month or 2 months for us. So we'll just say thank you to our guests today.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you to everybody. I mean, Aaron Lacy, Derek Brown, you know, Devin Powell, obviously. It's just great show, phenomenal guests. Mm-hmm. We had the big UFC brass. We got them after the event. It was really cool, you know, getting a chance to speak to Dean Thomas backstage. Yeah. Couldn't have been any nicer. He was thanking me afterwards. I'm like, thank me. I'm like, no, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah, so it was going to be a little longer with Dean, too, but I guess Dana, when Dana says we need to leave, we need to leave, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I found you there because I was looking for you when you took off after Dana, and I was talking to Aaron Lacy, like as you said. And I was, geez, like, where do I go? I'm still new to this thing, trying to figure out where the press stuff is.
Right.
And so I darted out back, and there everyone was. And
it
was
just wrapped with Dana, too. Yeah.
Wow, what a great night. So exciting. Hopefully we get a chance to do this again soon. You know, I wouldn't imagine that Dana's going to bring another Looking for a Fight to Maine. I don't know, maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe.
As you heard from Dana, he said never say never when talking about returning UFC or some sort of MMA here to the state of Maine.
Well, I would imagine the UFC. I would imagine another UFC event coming. The venue and when, that's to be determined and everything. But the Looking for a Fight series, maybe down the line, maybe another couple of years at least before that comes back, because he has plenty of other promotions and places across the country now to go.
Hey, but he's coming back home.
Yeah, he's coming back home, but
that's an easier one to film, right?
Because he makes
it a work vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. But hopefully Dana comes back because he's very beloved here, and I know we have a huge following in South Dakota. He's heading to Sturgis next, so if you're out there listening in South Dakota, You can thank us for that heads up.
Right? I mean, and please, everyone needs to go to the Main Event Facebook page, like our page, and continue to follow the show. That's where we're posting all of our episodes, all of our media stuff. I've been sharing a lot on Facebook, trying to get more people engaged. So when you listen to this, go ahead and go to the Main Event Facebook page, click the like button, and continue to follow us as much as possible.
Thanks again for joining us. It's been a fun one. It's been a crazy week. And we look forward to doing it again next week, so be sure to stay tuned on the Main Event Facebook page for all that information and much more. Brian Jarrell, thanks again.
Thank you.
I'm Brian Stackpole signing off. We'll see you next week with some more Main Event.